You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
Welcome to this episode of the Van Flip Podcast, brought to you none other than Lamb Goat, you know, the best metal website in all of the land and on the internet. This week, I am sitting with Currents vocalist, Brian Wiley. God damn, we just went over it. Willie, like Willie Nelson. Brian Willie Nelson from Currents, vocalist. They have a new album coming out in a couple weeks, although while recording this, it's going to come out in a couple weeks. It's been out for a couple weeks already, so you probably already heard the new album, The Death We Seek, which was released on May 5th through Sharptone. So welcome to the show, Brian. How you feeling today, man?
Brian Willie Nelson, Willie in the house, just chilling, dude. I, just having a good day, just counting the blessings and getting ready for this headline tour coming up and just living the life, man, just hanging out.
Yeah, this podcast will come out while you guys are on tour, which obviously kicks off first week of May or shortly after.
Oh, dude, this tour is great.
Yeah.
This tour is great. I'm having so much fun on this tour.
What's the best part so far?
Oh, dude, yeah. I don't know, just all the drives, you know, on this tour. This is our first time not driving ourselves, so that's pretty cool. We're just doing that. And, I'm just... What other things would future Brian say about the tour? I don't know.
Cool dinosaur sculptures on the side of the road. There was one time I drove I-10 for a long period of time, and there was signs, and I'm sure any band or any person that's traveled on I-10 anywhere between like Texas and California, either way, has probably seen those giant road signs of the attraction about the thing. Have you seen those?
Oh my God, I don't even remember. I'm terrible.
It's like, it would be every couple miles, you'd see like, the thing! And then you go to this little rest stop area situation, you pay like a dollar or something like that, and you go through this little museum type, you know, roadside attraction thing, and then at the end, you get to see the thing. Whatever, you know, you've been, for hundreds of miles, you've been seeing this fucking billboard about the thing. It turns out it's like some quote like, the thing is... blah blah blah. I don't even remember what it was.
The thing is, God loves you. Yeah. JesusChrist.com. Yeah. And you're like, all right, cool.
Something along those lines.
Oh, that's like south of the border. Like you see the signs for south of the border for like so long. I never got to go. I don't know. But like you see the signs for south of the border for like miles and miles and miles. And then you finally get there and you're just like, this is like weird amusement park thing. Like, all right, cool. That's
this
not what
I
thought
cool
it was going to look
70s,
like.
In the 70s, it might have been pretty cool.
I wish I went, but.
You didn't miss much, to be honest with you. It's just a giant gift store and, like, you know, a sombrero on like a water tank top thing, I think, or I don't know. But
sounds awesome.
They definitely, they just shut it down like this year or this past year. It, oddly, bring that up. I was literally thinking about that 2 days ago. Just like, wow, that's never going to be around anymore.
That's just how it goes, you know? And then speaking of billboards, completely unrelated, we're in this town the other day, I forgot where it was, but there was this billboard and it was just like this cutesy like children's book like teddy bear like drinking a glass of water. I'm like, oh, that's a cute billboard. And then I look at the text on like the left side and it says, your drinking water could give you hepatitis. And I'm like, oh my God, like what the hell?
They threw a curveball at you. They got you lured in with the graphics, and then you read the text and you're like, oh, my day is ruined.
Yeah, so what's that?
Subliminal messaging.
Whatever.
Seeing the South, I mean, I'm located in Florida, so when I've driven the East Coast in my entire life for the most part, and I've seen signs for that south of the border for all my life, because I would go to and from to Canada, because I have family in Canada, so we would drive a lot. And so all my life I've seen the south of the border. I've only stopped a handful of times, but yeah, RIP, south of the border. I wonder what they're going to put there.
Man.
Yeah, I'm really gonna put there. All right, well, let's get into some more important discussions about maybe like the band and stuff like that. So you guys, most recently as of today, have released your fourth single off the new upcoming album, and the single "So Alone." What was the idea behind releasing? And again, I don't say so many singles, but it's more than the usual. So usually you have like 2-3, but you guys have chosen 4. Is there a reason why you guys just decided to do that, or is it just something like timing wise and, you know, like schedule, that was just how it fit?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it might even be more than that. We'll see. There might be another one before the record comes out, and then like we'll see what the people think about the songs that are on the record, and we can even, like, if we have the ability, maybe we'll make another one like after, that's kind of just like whatever people like from the record. But
another single, not another record, right?
Yeah, another single. Okay,
yeah,
but like, yeah, but that'd be like post record, like just something that everybody seemed to dig that's not a single already. But yeah, I guess the process of that is like, I guess bands are starting to just drop more singles now from the records than they normally would have in the past.
Agreed.
And it is interesting because ours is like a little bit shorter, I guess, like as far as records go, but like I'm a big proponent of like, you don't want to hear it yet, just, you know, let it sit on the internet and just, you know, wait until you hear the whole thing. But for the people that don't really care that much, like I think that they kind of don't mind like having like more to listen to.
Yeah,
you know? There's nothing wrong with like having more out.
Like, but it does keep you more relevant over the time of, like, you know, you're doing media and just, obviously you haven't had an album in a couple years. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't really look back, but 2020 was the last release, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
So you guys haven't had a lot of, you know, music coming out at that point, because obviously the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to get into that. But yeah, so do you prefer like more singles to keep you more relevant, or more things to, like, you know, not, I don't want to say keep you more relevant, but just keep you in the, you know, public, facing the public more often, whereas like if you don't do something or don't post anything like material wise for a while, kind of, you know, some people just may not pay attention as often, but like you said, more bands are, the frequency of releasing singles seems to be a lot more these days than it has been in the past. So
yeah, I haven't really noticed a method to the madness so much, but like, you know, you can see like there'll be like some of the larger bands, like the bigger fish, they'll drop a single that just completely goes crazy for them more than like a record would, where yeah, some people's just, you know, they want to hear a song, they don't want to hear 10 songs all at once and put all of that time and effort in, especially if they don't have another thing to like keep their brain occupied while they're doing it, you know. For me, music is like a thing where, like, you know, I throw it on when I'm like doing the dishes or doing like a long drive, or like I'm you know, kind of like trying to accomplish things through my day, or, you know, you're going for a run, or like you're working out or whatever. Like, usually music, I feel like, for a lot of people is the soundtrack to whatever their thing they're doing for their day is. And you know, if you don't really have an opportunity to be in that rotation for like an entire record's worth of time, just to kind of be in there for like to pop in and out for the day, or to be something that they check out for a second, is also pretty cool, and just kind of does more to keep you in the realm of like people's thoughts and in their heads and stuff. But like, I haven't really figured out like if it's like singles versus albums, like what's going to make you more relevant at whatever time. I think it's kind of just whatever you put it out, and if you get lucky with the timing, then great, and if you don't, then whatever, you just go next. But I will say that for the amount of singles that we put out in this cycle particularly, touring has played a big factor in that. So, you know, typically when you have a tour that is happening, it is good to have something that is out like right before it comes out, like right before the tour happens, so that you have you know, a little piece of something to kind of promote the tour, and to have something to kind of garner excitement for seeing you play at that tour. Yeah, you know, a new song is always good for that.
Yeah.
So there's been you know, Vengeance came out like right before we did like our holiday show, so people who did the holiday show got to hear that live for the first time.
Yeah, you guys have little stints with, like, you just got off the Killswitch run, a couple dates, like a handful of dates with them. So, and you know, you had just, or within that same time frame, I guess, released So Alone.
Yeah, yeah, like So Alone came out, and then like a week or so later we had the Killswitch shows, and that was good. Which, honestly, that one was weird because we almost weren't gonna play So Alone on the Killswitch shows, because it is a six string song, right? And we are a seven string band, and so to play So Alone we had to bring six string guitars for the sole purpose of playing that song. And so we had to figure out, like, well, is it even worth like doing that, like whatever. And I'm like, we probably should, you know, because for one, it's a great song, and for two, you know, I think people are going to find it a little odd if we go out there and a song just came out and we're not playing it. So, you know, for the logistic headache, I guess, of just bringing another guitar for the sole fact of playing that song, I feel like it was fine. And we just ended up playing it last, so it was easy. Like, nice. You know, you just kind of we did our set, and then instead of having like a changeover and then playing a song and then having another changeover of like 2 minutes, we just, you know.
Hey, what's up? It's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on The Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this and give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. And to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show.
Played the set, had a 2-minute changeover, said, all right, this is our last song. Throw the six strings on, play it, and then just leave. Nice. You know, and then you're done. So
pack it up, boys. We got it.
Yep.
All right, cool. How many of the new singles were on like your current since your current set list for your touring in the last 4 months? Have most of them made it to the set list, or do you kind of choose and pick which ones? Like, obviously you had one release at the beginning of the year. Do you still play? Did you play that one with Killswitch, or did you just like swap them out?
Oh yeah. We played this Killswitch and Parkway. Both of those sets were pretty new song forward. Like, we played every single, like on this Killswitch especially, we played all of them. We played The Death We Seek, we played Vengeance, we played So Alone, we played Remember Me. You know, like, they all were in the set list. I am not entirely sure that all of the singles are going to be on the headline set list. Yeah. I'm not sure of that. Just because we have, which is kind of funny, but like, we have so much ground to cover and so many other songs that like we're gonna have to fit into this like set time, that I think we're gonna try to like prioritize getting some of those like deep cuts in the set, and like getting some of those like older tracks that like people wanted to hear for a while in there. So you know, when you have like a headline set and it's centered around a new record, you can expect that you're gonna hear like a good chunk of that new record. But we wanted to focus on, you know, playing older tracks and also tracks from the record that are not singles.
How do you guys go about you know, selecting your sets? Obviously it's different between a headline set and just a support set, clearly because of time constraint, but like with no time constraint, like you currently are talking about wanting to do deep cuts and stuff like that, how do you guys go about just picking the songs actually for that set? Do you guys base it on like fan input before the show, I mean before the tours, or do you guys just kind of like, you know, base it on your current you know, likes and dislikes of your own discography and stuff like that, or how it's played out in the past when you've played it out live?
I think for this one, yeah, I would say what we like, this is gonna sound weird, I guess, but like if I had to put it on like a top three of priority, what we like for this set list is kind of like over here, like at the three. And then what goes off live that we've noticed in the past is probably number two. And then number one, our best kind of idea of the best things that we're going to play is probably like what the numbers look like for some of the songs. So
like on Spotify or Apple or anything like
that? Yeah, okay. Exactly. Like, so we tried to be real analytical with it. but like, obviously there are some picks that it's like, we just like that song, or we know this is like a mainstay for like the live set, so we like playing this song, and we don't want to compromise it, so we're going to keep it. But for the most part, when we were picking like some of the stuff that we're going to play from previous records and stuff that we're going to play from like this or that, we really just looked at the numbers and just looked at like if a song was like further back in the record and it still rivaled like the singles and like the first few songs for like plays, that was way more of a priority to try to throw that one in there because it was clear that it was like a more popular song on the record.
You have to get through the record at least, or find that song at the end of the record rather than just a single or putting it on and pushing play.
Yeah, exactly. So we tried to go for like what was like the most, now it's a lot of the just the most played stuff, which we would just have to take as like it was like some of the favorite stuff, you know. But yeah, it was a process, but I think what we came up with, and I don't remember every song off the top of my head, you know, or exactly how many there were, but it feels pretty good. And there's like a nice chunk of you know, there's a nice piece from all the different pies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How much time are you granted on this particular headlining tour for your sets? Do you guys know that already? Or
I think it was about as much as we wanted. I feel like the standard is usually like an hour to like an hour and 15, and then, you know, if you're crazy, you go above that. But I think we're gonna hover around an hour, if I had to guess, if I had to think about it right now, just for the sole fact of like we're getting our feet wet here in this headline world. We haven't really done it before, and so to like overextend ourselves with like a ridiculous set every night, I think is not good for anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wanted to get the most out of the time and just take our own mental health into, yeah, physical and mental health into consideration when you know, trying to figure out the length of time. So I think it will hover around an hour, but you will hear a lot of stuff.
Nice. Well, that's good. That is great. How did you guys come about? How do you guys go about choosing the support for the package, since it's your first headlining tour or one of your first headlining tour gigs or whatever? Do you have a say in who you bring along, or is it just something that like publicists, booking agents, or managers kind of offer up and you get to select, or how does that work for you?
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of like, hey, we think that this band and this band would be good ideas. Usually like if there's an input, and this isn't just for our tour, this is kind of just like, I think as a general standpoint, is like usually the band will kind of have an idea of who they want as like, you know, this slot and this slot, and then the opening slot will usually be like a little bit more of like a hey, like label here or management here, we really think that this band would be a great idea for like fleshing out like the whole situation, and like they'd be a great opener and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that that was the situation with us. Like we I enjoy Foreign Hands. Like I really like Foreign Hands, and I think they were one of the names that were kind of like thrown in the hat, so to speak. And that was like the name that kind of really stuck out to like most of us, and it was kind of this mutual decision of like, okay, yeah, Foreign Hands, like let's go, that's great. And that decision kind of came a little later, but then we were trying to figure out like a direct support situation, and Invent Animate was there, but we were also trying, like, you know, we just wanted to make sure that we made the best tour package that we could. And when the idea of like Moss to Flames came up, it wasn't even really our idea. Like they were on Twitter, and someone from the band page had mentioned some interest in having us take them out on tour. And we had a couple ideas by that point, but I was like, wait, you guys would really do that? And they're like, yeah. So we immediately were just like, oh, okay, no, like that's way better than anything else we were thinking of. So you know, we went from there, and like Moss to Flames said yes, and like that's incredible, because I can't think of like a better band to like bring out with us on like our first headline tour. Yeah. Like we opened for them, like one of our first little runs. We did their like one of their 10-year tours. It was like a series of shows that we did with them, and that was awesome. So to kind of have like this like cool little full circle moment where they're coming with us and helping us like kind of celebrate this record is incredible. And then Invent, we always knew we wanted to have in some capacity on the lineup, whether they were direct or they were like you know, like just under the direct or like whatever it was.
Special guests. Homies.
Yeah. Like super esteemed special guests. They're incredible. They're like one of the best bands out there. Like super good friends.
We've had them on the show.
Yeah, they're sick. And I will say they were going to do the whole tour, but they got an offer to do that Bad Omens tour that they're doing around the same time. And so,
because they just released a new album as well, if no one, if you are unaware, but yeah, they have also released a new album.
Yeah, they, yeah, that album, Heavener, oh my God, so good. But like,
the promo pics were very interesting. I like the promo pics. They're very, you know, it's all very tied tan. In. All tied in. Yeah, it's all tied in with the name of the record, but it's quite funny. Didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going. Go ahead.
Oh, you're good. You're good. But yeah, those guys are incredible. All the best to them. So they get this offer to do the Bad Omens thing, and we're like, okay, well, like, definitely got to do that. Like, you have got to take the Bad Omens offer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so then we're like, well, if you guys can do like the first few and like the last few, like that's cool too. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so then that kind of made that happen. Then we had to find somebody to fill in that area. And then our first thought was like Unity. Like, that band is awesome. We had Unity was this on our first big tour. It was with Miss May I, Upon a Burning Body, and Kubla Khan. And then we were opening that one of the first shows where the whole tour kind of came together. That was in Texas at I forget the name of the venue, but it was like, it's not around anymore, but either way, first show was in Texas. And Unity was the opener for the show. And they were all chill. Like, they were all cool. I think, you know, some of them were, like, working the show, right? And then, like, we didn't really think much of it. We're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, they're working the show. They're going to play, like, whatever. This band was incredible. Like, this band was so, like, disgustingly sick. And we couldn't believe it. And then we had to follow them up. And we're like, oh, my God, no. But, like... so then, you know, having the opportunity to have them come in and fill that slot, it was incredible, because they're just so awesome, and we have like really fond memories of them, and they're all awesome dudes. So you know, like, they really helped us kind of like round it out and like made us like comfortable with like the situation that we were dealt, I guess, in that sense. So that's how we got everybody on the lineup, as far as I can remember.
Nice. Are you not worried about a headlining act supporting you guys, or is it just kind of like, because obviously you said you supported them, and I've seen them do headlining shows in the last couple years come through town here, and this is you guys' like, you know, first go at it. Were you not nervous? You know, are you nervous about it, or do you have any reservations about that, or anything like that, like being upstaged by the opening act like you mentioned with Unity?
Not necessarily. Like, whatever happens at the end of the day. If them being on the tour with us helps the tour succeed, that is the best thing. At the end of the day, all we care about is having a good show that is well attended, that everybody that goes enjoys. So, you know, at the end of the day, it was like the best move I think we could have made. So, yeah, whatever happens. I'm excited to see, and I know that no matter what happens, we're gonna have people that have been waiting to see us headline, or at least play a longer set for a long time.
Right.
So as long as those people are there and excited and, like, you know, having a good time, that's all I care about.
I mean, worst comes to worst, it pushes you to be a, you know, a better performer.
Absolutely.
So let's talk before we move on. I want to bring up the Killswitch and Parkway shows and how that must have been for you guys, you know, because both those bands have come and become, like, you know, some of the bigger metalcore bands in the entire world, for the most part, you know, metal bands too. So how is it like performing alongside and, you know, just hanging out with those types of magnitude of bands?
It's pretty sweet. You know, both bands treated us super well. And you know, their crews were incredible. They were all like really humble, like chill people. And just to see them crush it and continue to be like, you know, the big forces that we know that they are, mm-hmm. like continue to like go in and just like crush shows to this day is like really sick. And that Parkway one was especially cool because it had been their first time back in the States for a while. Yeah. And I know people were a little bit like, ah, the lineup's not as like crazy as like it was when whatever, like that lineup was sick. Like Memphis was awesome. They killed it every day. Like we did our best. And then, you know, Parkway was awesome. And I feel like that tour was for them a kind of like, yep. We're going to still keep coming here. We're still going to do this. Cause this is awesome.
Were they thinking about not coming here or something like that? Because
no, I don't know if that was the thing, so to speak.
But I know there was like, you know, with the last album or the later, maybe the later two albums, you know, I'd only see them really on like the festival circuit in the States. I didn't really ever see them play like, and I could, it just could be my area, you know, the Southeast here, but, and I could just be like daydreaming all this stuff, but I think for the most part, I want to say it was just like festival shows like Rockville and all these other kind of shows that they would do, mm-hmm. not necessarily like tours and stuff, but it's good to hear that they were well received, even though, you know, they've definitely heard at least some of the backlash online for the last couple albums, you know, when they changed their sound from like the original, you know, metalcore sound they had in the beginning. But it's good to hear that they decided they'd like to keep coming back.
Yeah, and that's not something by like any official means. It's the way that those shows went, I feel like it, for them, it was like a nice springboard for like, okay, we're back established in the States again, and like now they're coming back with you know, like an Australian lineup, mm-hmm. on like this like big massive tour. This just got announced what, today or yesterday or something?
Yeah, the Monsters of Oz tour with like every big Australian band coming with them. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so like it's really cool to see that come to fruition and that happen, and like to have done like kind of like their first foray back into the States in a while, and like be able to support them in that endeavor was like really sick. So shout out to Parkway, like super awesome. Would 10,000% do it again. But and then like Killswitch, yeah, fantastic. Getting to see them kill it every day was really cool. Those guys are all super humble again. Like talked to Jesse a few times, and he was always like a sweetheart every time. And like you know, it's 5 days,
yeah,
so it's hard to like really get to know everybody. And same with Parkway, I was like,
sorry, how much time do you get on like with the big band on some of these tours? Granted, obviously, like the type of tour you're on may be a different vibe. Obviously, like you may just be in a bunch of vans touring, whereas I would assume Killswitch and Parkway have like buses and bigger productions and all that stuff, so they may be in a sweeter ride. And forgive me, you may be even in a bus, but I would assume it's more like a van situation.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Oh,
you keeping know it, keeping it real. It, I feel you.
Yes, sir. But like, we're taking the van on the headliner.
That's the way to go about it. Hey, you know, I know bands that have done 20 years still doing vans. It saves money, man. So just,
oh yeah,
if you can suck it up, you know, you can do it. But how much time do you guys get to spend, you know, throughout the day? Whether it's, is there access? Like, is it easily accessible to get to the headliner, even if you're in the tour package? Is like, do you guys hang out for like lunch and fucking cornhole every day, or, you know, how does that work?
I'm gonna be dead honest with you. Not really. If we were more like personally, if I were more outgoing, if I were more like kick down the green room door and say, yo, what's up? Like,
yeah,
I feel like it would have been a little more like accessible. But if you are not the person that's going to go and put yourself out there, you're not necessarily guaranteed to really like interact super duper much. But that's totally fine with me, in the sense of like, we're just happy to be there in a sense.
Don't fuck it up. Don't get kicked off.
Yeah.
Don't
like, yeah. Things. God forbid I say something stupid and dumb and they kick me off the tour. I don't know. It can't be that bad, but like, you know, like I know Matt, and Christian, like, they're a little more outgoing, so like if they saw somebody, like, they'd, you know, they'd be a little more quick to be like, oh, what's up, you know, like,
I so you don't see people do their thing. Do you just not see them that often, like they're in the bus or they're doing their thing, or, you know what I mean, like, it's,
yeah, I mean, people will kind of come and go, they'll pass by and like do whatever, and like, you know, if you're the kind of person to just go up and say hi, then like, cool. But if not, like, they're not really kicking down your green room door and asking you like 20 questions about your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, so, that's like, not their job. That's kind of your job as the opener to kind of like, give me this info. Teach me your ways.
I go back and forth with that concept, because if I was in like the headlining position, I feel like I'd at least want to know what's going on. I'd want to know a little bit about the people I'm sharing the road with, and like, you know, try to get like a little chat, even if it's on just day one and I just sit there in their green room and just like, you know, chill and like punish them and like hang out with them for like a day, and then for the rest of the time we just kind of do our own thing. That's, you know, I feel like cool. But I'm also, yeah, like when I'm on tour, I'm more just like, I want to perform the best that I can, and I, everything that I'm doing during the day is like centered towards that. And so, you know, I have, you'll make friends and stuff along the way, but like, I'm more just like in my own-ness for the most part. So like, you know, that's kind of just how I go. But like, on the, I noticed that like, yeah, I feel like as the bigger the band is, the less that you're really going to be like, buddy, buddy all the time, right, like chilling with them. But like, that's not to say that like, you're not treated well. And that's not to say that like, the overall atmosphere and vibe isn't like friendly and like welcoming and like chill.
I totally get that, because obviously like when you're touring in general, there's a good chunk of the day is driving in general, so you're not necessarily even, you have access to any other body outside of your van for the most part. If you're, you know, if you're splitting that van with another band sometimes, maybe you can have some camaraderie that way, but for the most part you can show up to a venue, everyone's got their jobs, you know, sound check and all this other stuff that they've got to do, and you play at a different time than the big band plays, and then vice versa. So you, I could see how there's not a lot of, you know, interaction being done on a day-to-day basis in general. So that's why I brought it up, just kind of curiosity.
Yeah. 'Cause,
you know, you see all these like old school DVDs from the early metalcore days, and although this was back in the day when no one was touring in a bus and it was all like 100 dudes in one van. So there seemed to be like a big camaraderie situation with each tour package. Not saying that that's a bad or a good thing or it doesn't happen currently, but that's why I was currently asking.
Yeah. I will say too that like, you know, it's funny when you see that like kind of, I don't know what the word is for it. I'm kind of blanking, but like the difference, I guess, where like, yeah, you see bands in like, they'll have like a behind the scenes thing where it's like in their heyday, it's like, you know, they're the same thing, it's like buddy buddy with everybody on the tour and like they're all best friends and stuff, and then when you get to the point where like you're able to do that, the vibe is a lot more like private.
Yeah.
And I think that that's it's, but of course it is, right? Because like a lot of these dudes that are like the bigger fish, like they're busy, like they have entire other lives besides the band. They have entire other like business ventures, mm-hmm. companies, families.
It's not just a vacation on the road.
No, a lot of these people, they like play their set, but like the day leading up to that, they're like, you know, answering, they're like doing emails and they're doing like Zoom calls for their other things, and they're FaceTiming their people, and they're like, yeah, getting like FaceTimes in with like their kids while they're just like doing this and that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, and a lot of these people, they've been doing it for so long where like, you know, I feel like they've made a lot of like the band guy friends that they're gonna have, where like
you only keep so many in your head at one time, so you can't,
right,
you
know. And realistically, what am I gonna talk to this guy about, you know, like what, like we're gonna relate on, oh yeah, eating Cheetos in the van, remember that dude, like
what
the hell are we gonna talk about?
I get you. So let's cut to the album. I mean, we've been talking about other stuff for over 30 minutes, so let's talk about the album. And correct me if I'm wrong, and you're probably more lenient, or you're probably leaning towards agreeing with me in general, just because it's probably the good thing to say. But if you were to ask me which album is heavier, you're the one that's currently the 2020's album, or the current one coming out. I would say that the 2023 record is heavier.
I would agree with you. Okay. I would agree with
you. Was there a conscious effort in that, or is it just something that's happened over time with, you know, with the band, with your influences, XXXXX? How'd that come about?
I think in the same way that when we were doing The Way It Ends, and we were just kind of doing our thing and just writing what we were writing and then fine-tuning those things and then, you know, putting it all together, mix it, master it, and then you look back and you go, wow, this record is depressing. Like, that, it was kind of the same thing that happened with The Death We Seek, where we went through the whole process. You spend a year and a half, 2 years, like writing demos and mm-hmm. doing this and that. Chris sending me stuff, I sent him stuff back. We record at his house, do whatever, go to Ryan, who produced it. We, you know, fine tune with everybody. Then we go record the vocals. Chris records guitar. Matt goes records drums. We mix, we master, we do all that. We look back and we go, wow, there's a breakdown in every song. That's crazy. You know,
yeah.
It's like stuff that's not super intentional, but you start to notice that there is that kind of common thread. And it's like when we went in and we were doing the record, it was like every song kind of had a heavy bit, but it still kind of felt like a verse chorus sort of deal for the yeah. most part. But it felt like there was like every individual song had to have like the right balance of everything, and it all had to feel like cohesive. And so you just kind of do that across the course of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we ended up with. And so, like, yeah, it's heavy. Even if there's like milder songs, the songs that are like a little more like mellow, like you like Guide Us Home, right?
Yeah.
Still has like just this ridiculous breakdown in it. And then, like Unfamiliar, which is a little bit more of like the I don't want to say like commercial, because that sounds kind of shot. it's just like a little more
palatable.
Like sing,
more palatable.
Yeah, it's like a lot more like sing forward. It just has that ridiculous like fast screaming section,
yeah,
of just like nonsense that happens there. And every song has got that kind of like heavy part, and there's a lot more like range going on than we're used to having. So there's a lot more just like lows as mains and then highs as like a main than we're used to having. So I think in an effort to kind of just go full on with everything that we do, that's just what happened.
Yeah, I did note that's one of the things I really noticed right away, because I listened to both of them in the last couple days back to back for the most part, a couple times, just to kind of, I'd like to see what the differences are between, you know, the growth of the one album to the next album, or if a band goes backwards, one album or the next album. So luckily, in your guys' case, it was a move forward. In my opinion, could be a move backward to some people, I'm assuming, but, you know, teach their own. So you guys also, on this album, have a new bassist who is also handling some vocal duties. So how do you guys juggle who does what on the current spiel? And were you the only vocalist prior to that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was curious, because you were doing cleans and uncleans. So how do you guys juggle that currently on the new record?
So on the new record, it is all still me. I am still the only vocalist that is on the recordings. I can't think of another situation where there's anybody else. On the other few records, there are other people that like do additional vocals, like usually it's like the producer or something mm-hmm. doing like a harmony or whatever, but a lot of those, like on this record, every high, low, sing, harmony, whatever, like it's all me. What Christian is essentially, like what he'll do is when we go and perform the songs live, wherever we feel like we need that kind of layer or that backup, or like I can't breathe and realistically do this thing,
yeah,
Christian is there to kind of, you know, knock that out. And there's been periods actually where Matt, our drummer, will do vocals as well. We're kind of like, we've put it on the, or at least he's decided that he doesn't really want to do it until we can, like, you know, he can like fully like rehearse the stuff like with vocals, and we can get it to be like fleshed out perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got nasty lows. So like, if there's a part where I'm doing a mid and there's a low under that, then we really want that there. Mm-hmm. We have Matt do it, and it is sick.
Nice. Another, speaking of bringing up like Matt and Christian and stuff, when Matt stepped into the band, he was replacing Jeff, who Jeff was like the remaining original member of the band. And so, you know, I guess a lot of the band had like the original lineup obviously had dropped away years and years before, but after he left, did you guys talk about changing the name of the band or just remaining Currents? Because at this particular point, and if no one knows this, I don't know where you've lived, but or under a rock somewhere, but at this point, it's all new members relative to the original lineup. So, yeah, did you guys have a discussion about that internally, or, you know, how did you guys come about just staying on the name?
A lot of it was Jeff's call.
Nice.
Jeff was like, hey, I'm out, but, and this is paraphrasing obviously, right. But the way that he put it when he decided he was done was, hey, I'm out, but you know, don't do like change the name or anything weird like that. Like, this is your guys' thing now. Whatever this was when I started it, I'm happy with what has happened that brought it to where it is now, and it's still what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he had a huge part in like the growing process of like he was the only original member when we released The Place I Feel Safest,
right,
which is like landmark kind of record for the band, as
and
far
as why
like,
I kind of hate,
you know, the commercial success.
So yeah, like, and I should probably paraphrase what I was saying earlier. I don't necessarily like to say like original members, because clearly prior to then it was only like EPs released. So like on the first full length, you're a part of that. You were a part of the band prior to that. You know, it's all the new members for the most part, and then Jeff on the first
right.
Real.
Oh full no, length. Absolutely.
So
I know exactly what you mean, and that's cool. Like I get that, because I've been friends with Currents like the whole time, essentially. Like, I remember meeting them in like 2013.
Yeah.
And, you know, like playing shows like alongside them and stuff, and they were always like the big fish and all that stuff. And so I'm very familiar with like the time that they were like, you know, the local band, and like I know like all of the members like past and present and all that stuff. And like you know, by the time I had gotten into it, it was like, oh yeah, this is like the biggest band in Connecticut, right? And then like it was very clear that like there was things put in place by that point that were going to take the band out of Connecticut, and Jeff was like the spearhead of all that stuff. And not to say that any of the other members weren't like doing anything, because like Patrizio, the previous vocalist, was like really good at getting like you know, he was like a force in and of himself. Like they kind of like handled a lot of like the business side of the band, and Patrizio was really good at getting people's like attention on like the internet and stuff like that. So he'd make like viral posts, and Jeff would do the same thing as well. They were like really good at that before it was like the thing that like bands were doing, I guess. And you know, like Jeff did a lot of things that like other people just would not have had like the ability to do. And he was able to have conversations with like, you know, people that like other people like in the area just were not equipped to be having, especially at like the age and like the time that we were in. And so a lot of respect goes to Jeff for like all the time that he just grinded into the band and all that stuff. And it's funny because him and Matt actually just met recently, like face to face in person. Our friend Josh, who works with the band on the management side, is having a baby. He had a baby shower, and Jeff was invited, and so was Matt, and they met for the first time.
And you're like, hey, this is not awkward.
It was awesome. It was so cool, because like, you know, like Jeff's awesome, Matt's awesome, and it's like they're very similar in ways, like, and the way that Matt carries himself and the way that he's kind of like filled the role that you know he has in the band is like very similar to Jeff, where they're both very like mature with like heads on their shoulders and just very like, let's get it done, like let's do it, like hands-on people. And so they're more similar, I'd say, than they're different, where like, you know, they have a lot of common ground there. So it was cool seeing them meet for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, to the point, yeah. Like the way that we've always kind of summarized Currents is like, we're a collection of kids from like New England and like Connecticut that were in our own bands. And when those bands kind of fell apart, Currents was kind of the thing where everybody that was serious about taking it out of the state and getting out into the world, this is where we ended up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to touch on Unclean and Clean vocals, and then we'll move on from that. We'll move on to the next subject, all right? So another thing that I kind of, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, another thing I may have picked up on, that there was less cleans in this particular record on The Death We Seek than there were on the 2020 record. Am I wrong for thinking that, or am I just wanting that to be a thing, personally?
I don't know. I think the balance is way more, like we struck more of a balance where like I feel like the singing in and of itself is more impactful when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the screaming is more like everything suits what the part calls for as much as we tried to make happen, if that makes any sense. I don't know if it made sense the way I said it, but like yeah, if I had to sit there and like listen back, I don't know. It feels like a little more, it all feels more balanced. So I would say that like where there were songs on The Way It Ends that were more like clean singing forward, they didn't have as much screaming in them.
Yeah, and that's kind of probably what I'm basing it, my thought on, is there were definitely songs that were more focused on the cleans.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, songs like Vengeance where there's no singing, but we usually have like a song where there's no singing in it at all, and then we have like Living in Tragedy where there's just like the chorus and then like the B chorus, I guess, that happens at the end where and then that's it for singing. Like there's a lot of songs where the singing is just relegated to the chorus and then that's it on this record. But then you have stuff like We Will Run, which is like, or no, that was, oh my God, bro. That's the old name of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Guide Us Home, Guide Us Home. All right. Woo. So we have songs like Guide Us Home, like that. I feel like that is probably the most singing forward of the tracks. But I could be wrong where like, That one I feel like has like way more singing than it does screaming, like full first verse, full chorus, full second verse before you even hear a single scream.
Interesting. And you guys put that at the end of the album, so it's interesting placement for it too.
Yeah, well, initially I feel like Remember Me was probably going to be the closer track, and then but at the same time we wanted it to be a single really bad, so like
is it faux like, pas to put a single at the end of the album? Is that like industry faux pas?
I guess it's not much more of a faux pas as like putting your first single as your first song, but like, yeah, in a sense, like I feel like it's weirder, it's more common for that to happen than it is for the last song to be like a single pre-release, because you don't want to spoil the ending for people. And like it just felt like, especially like that song is like a strange one for me, because it's like this weirdly like it's more personal and like goes way further back for me, I feel like, than like any other song that we've ever done. And it's not really outwardly that way to like it's but like for me that's like a very like super personal song. Like there's a piece of me in that song that will always be there. And it's cool to have that be like the end track. And then again, like, yeah, having Remember Me be the closer, I feel like could have worked, but having it be a single that came out pre-release makes way more sense. And I think that Guide Us Home stands on its own as like a nice closer.
Yeah, that's good. Do I have any other things to ask you about the music or the album?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think we kind of did most of it. I covered all those things. So let me move on to the next thing that I have for you.
Oh, wait. I have a thing.
Go ahead.
I forgot. Forgot something. And there's no editing, so we can't move it over to the next part. But I am not the only vocalist. I'm not the only vocalist on The Death We Seek. What is Gone Astray? Chris, our guitar player, our resident Shadow of Intent virtuoso, he sings the chorus on Gone Astray. That is his voice.
Oh, nice.
When he sent me that pre-pro track, that chorus was included in the pre-production, like the demo that he sent me. And I was like, okay, that's perfect. He's like, if you have another idea, go for it. If you want to sing this, cool. I'm like, nope, that's you. That's perfect. So, you know, that's pretty cool. He is he's the guy.
He's the one. He's the other singer in the band that's not listed on Wikipedia. But that reminds me of something I was going to ask you actually about vocals and clean and unclean vocals again. Is it like, how did you decide to do both in the band? Like, you just thought, like, when you're first writing songs with the band, or you know what I mean? Like, did you decide, like, hey, I got to keep this going, or I got to elaborate more on it, or should we have clean vocals? Or, you know, like, how did you guys decide this is the band we're going to be at this particular point when you came in to the fold?
I think it was a whole band decision where it kind of was like, all right, you're going to be the guy. But you got to sing too. And I was like, all right, you know.
Did you sing prior to that? Like, did you have clean singing, you know, on your resume prior? Okay.
Not really. So I had one of the things that got me into the band as, I guess, as it was, Northlane had lost their vocalist, Adrian, and they had a vocal cover competition sort of thing to try to find a new guy. And they chose Marcus, but I also put in a audition video. And by the time that I got my audition video done, they had kind of already picked their people. And I was friends with Currents at the time. And I dropped my video, right? And Jeff was like, oh, they already picked their guys, you're too late, dude. And I was like, making fun of me basically. And I was like, oh, shut up, I hate you. And then but he was like, oh, it's really good though, it's really good. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And then like events happen, like Patrizio starts to kind of like, you know, he wanted to move on. He had decided that he was pretty much like done, so to speak, with you know, being in the band and all that stuff. And I think the rest of the guys kind of knew that, and it was a thing that was kind of like coming up for a little while. Mm-hmm. And when it came time for them to really decide, like, okay, well, if this comes to fruition, like, who's going to be like the guy, you know? And then Jeff and Chris showed the rest of the band that audition video. And that was kind of the thing that made everybody go, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, this guy could do it. You know, as long as he does stuff like that, like, it's great. And that was the thing, is it was like, it was the song Quantum Flux and it was Dream Awake that both have like, you know, singing sections in them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to be auditioning for this band, I'm not going to like not do the singing parts. So I did the singing parts, and that ended up kind of working really well in my favor, because then they went, oh, well, he can do both. So like, if we're going to move the band forward, we should have somebody be able to do both, because like Currents always had clean singing in some aspect. Mm-hmm. On like on Victimized, like Solace had like a chorus sort of thing. It was like a singing piece that was in one of the songs. And then you know, you have songs like Rose or Euphoria on Life Lost that had like singing sections on them that like Jeff did. And so, you know, it was important to Jeff and to Chris as well that like whoever was going to take the spot was also going to be able to sing stuff. So that was kind of a stipulation, was like, yep, you're in the band, but like if it's going to like really go anywhere, like you're going to have to sing. And I was like, okay, great. So yeah. You know, the rest is history.
That is, yeah, it's years later now at this point. I want to ask you one last thing about the album and singles, and then we'll move on to my final topic, so I can cut you loose after that. is your favorite song on the new album out yet? Like, for, I mean, obviously this podcast is coming out after everything is already out, but it's currently mid-April. Is it out yet?
Not yet. It's not yet.
So your favorite song is on the actual album?
Favorite song is on the album, 100%.
Do you want to say what it is?
I would say probably Guide Us Home, or, like, it kind of goes back and forth a lot. So, like, Guide Us Home is a favorite. Then I would say, like, Over and Over is another cool one. So Alone is probably one of my favorites as well, but obviously it's a single.
It could be your favorite too. I'm not saying it can't be, you know. I asked if, like, your favorite song was either out or a single. So
yeah. So my two favorites currently are not out yet.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So Guide Us Home is obviously the ending track of the Death We Seek, so something to look forward to, or that you've already listened to multiple times by now, because you've already listened to the record over and over again. It's been out almost a month now. So what are you doing?
That's funny, because there's certain songs on the record that I just haven't listened to in so long, because, like,
why would you
it's gone, it's gone, it's out of my brain and just on a CD somewhere. So
let's I want to ask you, I can't let you go without asking about Ryan, because obviously earlier this year we posted about he had a fight with cancer and the GoFundMe and all that stuff set up. So I was just curious as to checking in on the status of that. And is he currently playing with you guys on these tours and on the, you know, on the Killswitch Parkway tour and all that stuff? Or, you know, did he have any downtime?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. So he is out of commission until... hoping September is when we're hoping to have him back. We have something going on then that, like, it would be very nice to have him for, because it's really cool. But for the headliner, he will not be present. It'll just be me, Chris, Matt, and Christian. And then for Parkway and for Killswitch, it was the same situation. Mm-hmm. Except we didn't have Chris for all of Killswitch and some of Parkway, so our friend Dave Pazik, who plays in a band called Dreamwake from Connecticut, filled in and essentially was Chris for those shows. And he came in, killed it, just did awesome. And so shout out to Dave, shout out to Dreamwake. He helped us out big time, saved us basically from not being able to do those shows. Mm-hmm. And we'll hopefully have Ryan again soon. Everything that, like, any update we get from him, anytime we get to talk to him, it seems like he's doing better and better. He's doing well. Treatment obviously is kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, it seems like he's making, like, some real positive changes in his life and with his habits and stuff like that, that, like, going forward are going to be really good for him. So I think, you know, with any health scare, like, you're going to look at other aspects of your health and say, oh, what could I do better here,
right.
So it seems like he's doing that. So, like, making the best out of, like, the bad is, you know, one of the best things you can do. And it seems like that's what he's doing. So, best to him.
Do you have any idea what follicular lymphoma is? I know he's got a low grade version of it. That's what the post said and everything, but I hadn't Googled it, so I didn't know exactly what it is.
I could be butchering it. It's like a cancer of, like, the lymph nodes. Like, it started up here, like, in, like, the armpit.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I guess it kind of spread, you know, outward and from there and went up into, like, his chest and all that stuff. It's crazy. Crazy. But, like,
but everything you've heard from him thus far has been mostly positive for the most part. Like, he's doing well.
Yeah, the outlook is good, like, as far as it goes. Like, they feel very confident about the treatment, basically getting it to a level where it will be manageable, treatable, and he'll always kind of have to be, like, looking over his shoulder a little bit is my understanding, but you know, as long as he continues to just, like, treat himself well and keep an eye on it and, like, keep up with doctors and keep up with, like, medication and stuff, like, he should be good, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it does work out for the best. If it makes you feel any better, last week, a friend of mine got a clean bill of health after having thyroid cancer, and she had to have, she had to have something taken out of her throat or her thyroid or somewhere in there. I think they got it removed altogether, and then she had some kind of radiation chemo. I don't know if it's like the regular dosage, but it was like a stay-at-home chemo for a little while, I guess. And then, clean bill. So, hopefully Ryan gets the same kind of situation for the outer rim.
That's what we're all hoping for. And I just, we miss him, obviously. Like, clearly. We haven't seen him in a while.
Does he not live in the area, or are you guys just not able to really be around him at this particular time?
Yeah, at this particular time, we can't really be around him in the sense of, we're just out and about in the world and stuff, and he has to kind of lay low, because if he gets sick, it causes a lot of problems.
Right. So germs and just contact with people and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So we've seen him, a handful of times, but, as far as it goes, we haven't gotten to see him much, so that is, that sucks. But it is all in the best interest of, getting him where he needs to be. Health wise, so whatever has to happen, we're just kind of with that, and we know we'll see him soon.
Yeah, hopefully. September's not that far off, only a couple more months, so fingers crossed. An hour goes by quick, Brian, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah, it goes by quick. Anything else you want to kind of throw out there before we head out, or because again, this is May 24th, this is when this is coming out, so I don't know if you have something scheduled between now and then that you can mention, but obviously won't be public until then.
I don't know what's getting announced.
Oh, wait, I have one last thing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Are you still doing the music mentor thing?
I only did it that one time.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey, if they asked me again, I would probably do it again.
And what was that? You just basically giving your techniques and quote unquote masterclass on being a vocalist for a clean unclean metalcore band?
Yeah, a lot of it was just kind of talking about how I came up and the things I was doing to keep my voice healthy and all that stuff, and to my understanding, to the best of my knowledge, what it is that I do and how I do it. And then on top of that, it's just a lot of questions from people and what they want to hear and how the band kind of got where it was at that point and stuff like that. So it was cool. It was a while ago, so I don't really remember it too super duper much, but I remember enjoying it. It was good, and it was a nice thing to do during COVID, just to be connected sort of.
Is that something that you guys just did obviously remote, but when you did I did not tune in, so don't go after me or anything, but was it just you for an hour, or is it you for because it was a 3-day event, so I was just curious as to was it just you and a couple other people, or was it mostly you?
It was a 3-day block of it was
I think scheduled programming, I guess, speakers and other things like that.
Right. I think what it is you get the specific package of what the person that you want to have the session with. And then they Scout and David Puckett would basically ask you questions and stuff that were curated based on whatever the curriculum, so to speak, that you had kind of planned out, what you wanted to talk about. You me and David and Scout would kind of went over what we were going to talk about and how we were going to structure it and how we were going to sort of orient each individual day. It was 3 days, an hour ish or more per day, and then just kind of going over breaking down various things. One day was centered on just vocal stuff, one day was centered on band stuff, one day was centered on touring stuff or whatever,
I gotcha. Well, I was just curious because that's something that I brought up, but I didn't remember till the very freaking end there, so good deal. I got it out. Got it in.
Sick.
Brian Willie Nelson, I appreciate your time on the podcast. It's fitting because tomorrow's 420, so it's a good time.
Oh, my
God. Reference. Good reference.
Brian Willie Nelson.
But, best of luck on a new album coming out in a couple weeks, which is already out as the audience is listening to this now. But best of luck, and I think we'll see you either in Atlanta or Tampa on the upcoming headliner. I don't know. We'd have to travel either way, but we may go and hit one of those shows.
Yeah, sweet deal. Let me know.
We'll do, man. We'll do. Cool. And I'm going to cut it right there, so give me 1 second.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.